Jesus is risen. And now may the presence and the grace of our risen Lord be with you now and always. Hildy is in the nursing home. She's 97 years old and belonged there, especially after her fall. She liked it just fine. The people were always pleasant and helpful. Yes, there were times when she would have to wait for things. Sometimes it seemed a long time, but it actually seemed a small price to pay for the safety she felt there. One day, Pastor Brad was doing his visiting at her home. He had done a communion service for those who could get around, but that was kind of hard for Hildy these days. So Pastor Brad stopped in to visit. When Brad knocked on Hildy's door that morning, she was just finishing her devotions. She loved doing her devotions. She loved reading the Bible and listening for whatever it is that God might say to her that day. That day she was using her favorite Bible, the one that she had had the longest. It was the Bible that Magnus had helped her get and in fact had helped her to even want to begin with. "Hi, Hildy. I hope I'm not interrupting anything," Pastor Brad said as he walked into her room. "No," she said. "I was just finishing my devotions." Come in, Pastor. I'm sorry I didn't make it to your service, but my hip and legs just don't like to take me around like they used to. When they got me in my chair here this morning, it felt so good that I just didn't want to even try." Brad smiled as he laid his coat on her bed and said, "No problem, Hildy. This way, I get to see that Bible of yours. I've seen it on your bedstand before, but I didn't really know that you used it. You had another Bible when you used to come to Bible study." Hildy smiled, and it was a wonderfully big smile. It was a smile that lit up her eyes and then went all the way down. It was as if her whole body was smiling. "This," she said, "is my favorite Bible. This one means the most to me. Do you have time for a story this morning, Pastor? I feel like telling you a story." And she motioned to an empty chair over in the corner of the room. "If you have a minute, sit down and look at my Bible." And she handed the Bible to him. "With that kind of introduction, I will make time for this story." So pulling the chair a little closer, Brad took the Bible from her as she handed it to him. It was an old Bible in English. The binding was falling apart. The thin onion skin pages looked fragile. Stuffed inside were pressed flowers, bookmarkers, cards, even a post-it note or two. This was a well-loved, well-used, well-worn Bible. It had had a name engraved on the front, but most of those letters had been erased by time and use. Brad opened to the inside page, and with a child's hand, yet very neatly written, was the name Brunhilde Birgitta Liesel von Oestergaard. "Is this your full name?" Brad asked. "Yes," she said, "that is my baptized name. Brunhilde was after my father's mother. Birgitta was after my mother's favorite aunt. Liesel was a middle name that was given to every girl child in my mother's family. They decided to call me after my grandmother because Aunt Birgitta was still alive and Grandma Brunhilde was dead. I'm so glad that they shortened it, though. I never really wanted to go through life thought of as Brunhilde." She giggled. "It is a very right and proper name," Pastor Brad commented. "But what about this story?" She said, "Now this happened 80 years ago or more. It was in the springs of the years when I was 9, 10, and 11. For those three springs up in the town where I grew up, Magnus came, and he came around the beginning of May. Now everybody thought that Magnus was a hobo. Now, this was a time when hobos would ride the rails and stop in various towns looking for work or looking for a meal. My hometown was in lumber country, so it was always possible for a hobo to find some work, even if it was just temporary work. Now, Magnus always seemed to come on the trains just like Lester and Sweet Pete or Stinky Jim and his friend Cletus. Magnus always came in early May and was usually gone again before mid-June. Magnus was different, though, she said. He looked always a little more washed up than most of the other hobos, and he definitely smelled better. He would always appear by the railroad tracks that were across from our church, and he would come and he would sit on the front steps and hold audience. The kids loved Magnus. He was an interesting character with a great hat that was part fedora and part cowboy hat. It was always on his head except when he would take out his handkerchief and wipe the sweat from the sun. He wore a flannel shirt and a waistcoat and a tweed jacket. You'd call that a sport coat now, I think. He had a pack of some sort that was usually strung across one shoulder, always had a bedroll blanket, but there were all sorts of other mysteries in that pack. But none of that was the real reason that the kids loved him. It was the nickels. You see, unlike any other hobo we had ever seen, Magnus always had nickels. He would give a nickel to everyone who would tell him a Bible story. He would give a nickel to every child who would sit and listen to a story that he told about Jesus. His face would brighten like nothing that you have ever seen when he would tell a story about Jesus. I don't know how many times I would sit there taking in every word. Stories about Jesus healing the sick and the lame. Stories when Jesus would cast out demons. Now, those were exciting when Magnus got going. Stories where Jesus fed people or told parables. I saw a grown man cry for the first time when Magnus told the story about Jesus' trial before Pilate and the beating that Jesus received. It was wonderful just to hear the stories, but none of us refused the nickel. It got to the point where my best friend Frida and I would read through our family Bibles at night looking for good stories to share. Again, it wasn't only for the nickel. It was really to see Magnus's smile. But the nickel never hurt. That first year that he came, I got a crazy idea. I was so taken with all of these stories that Magnus was telling and listening to that I decided I wanted a Bible for myself. So every nickel I received went into a for special tin in which I kept my most precious possessions. I was saving for a Bible. Now, a Bible didn't cost a lot in those days, but it was still a lot of nickels. So I kept at it. It was always a sad day for us kids when Magnus would vanish with the apple blossoms. But that was another thing about Magnus. When he wasn't telling Bible stories, he was helping the trees and the bushes and stuff. Now, most hobos were either looking for work or just a handout or both if that was possible. Magnus looked for trees. He was always cutting something from one and sticking it into or onto another. Later, I learned that what he was doing is called grafting. It was really amazing to see the branches that he was moving as they kept growing in the new spot and then to see what would happen years later. Hildy took a drink of water and then asked, I'm not boring you, am I, Pastor? Oh, no, Hildy, Pastor Brad said. I'm all ears. Carry on. I want to hear more. You asked for it, she chuckled. The second year that Magnus showed up, I had saved up a lot of Bible stories so that we would sit for long chats on the church steps. Me telling stories like Joshua and Caleb and the spies in Canaan. And he would tell me about the wheat and the tares. I would tell him about Elisha and the widow. And he would tell me about the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume. It was wonderful. I also told Magnus that I was saving up for a Bible, and he thought that that was a grand idea. As we talked, Sometimes we would walk and Magnus would look for trees. I once asked him about that, and then he told me another Bible story. It's the one where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Magnus told me that that was his favorite story because it gave him an image that he could understand. Magnus said that he understood trees, and knowing that we had been grafted into Jesus was exciting to him. He stopped and pointed to a branch and he said, "I grafted this here last year. Look and see how it is growing. It is helping the tree to do something new, and the tree is helping the branch to live." This is like Jesus and us. Connected to Jesus, we are able to do wonderful things because of the life that Jesus provides for us. He went on for a long time that day talking about trees and Jesus the vine. When he stopped, I asked him where he lived. I thought I knew him well enough to be able to ask the question. And he said to me that he had lived in lots of places, but that he abides in Christ. And that was the most important. As June came, Magnus was gone again. But he came back the next year. Once again, the nickels were flowing to me and to many children. I had had almost enough to buy my Bible, and when I finally did, I went and I ordered it. I had even saved enough to get my whole name engraved on the front, which was quite a lot, you know, she smiled. When the Bible came, I ran to show it to Magnus. It was almost June, and I knew that he would be leaving soon. He saw me running toward him, and he was wrapping another branch. We said hello, and I showed him my Bible. I thanked him for the many nickels. But more than that, I thanked him for the inspiration to read this book. Magnus thanked me for loving the stories, for digging into the Word. Then he told me something that I still cherish. He held my Bible and he said, "Now that you have this Bible, now you need to use this Bible to make this your Bible." And he touched my head and held it right over my heart. He said, "We need to be Bibles for other people to read." I told him I would try. And I have tried. Much of the time I've failed, unfortunately, but it is still my goal to be a living Bible for others to read so that they too can find Jesus. She took another sip of water. "That is a great story, Hildy," Pastor Brad said, flipping through the pages. "Do you know whatever happened to Magnus?" She said, "That year was the last year that Magnus was on the steps of our church. My father showed me an obituary in the newspaper later in the year that said that Magnus Larson, founder of the Larson Lumber Company, had passed away. There was a picture, and it was our Magnus. We had thought that he was a hobo, and he was actually the richest man in 3 states. You know, Pastor, I wrote a card to his widow, telling her of the special place that Magnus had in my heart and all of the stories that he had told me. She even wrote me back, telling me that Magnus had even mentioned me by name when he was telling her stories of his travels. It's really an amazing thing." Pastor Brad asked some more questions that morning, but the most important thing they did that day was share communion. And in his prayer, Pastor Brad thanked God for the ministry of Magnus and God's continued ministry in and through Hildy. You see, we are all of us called to tell the story of God's love, like Philip did for that Ethiopian eunuch, like Magnus did to the children in our story. But more importantly, we are called to live our lives in such a way that we point to Christ. That is the love which Jesus commands us to live. That is the love that defines God Himself. Active, amazing, caring, sacrificing, giving, receiving, living for others. That's the love. And in this love, we are invited to abide. That means that God's love is always there for us, and in that love, we are free to stay around, to hang out with, to Sabbath with. We are free to meditate on that love, to contemplate that love, to rest in that love. But we are also free to draw strength for our life and our living. We are free to find our roots in that love. And then we are free to grow with and to grow into that love. We are invited to share that love, to live that love, to bear fruit from that love, which means we are free to serve one another and the world around us. That's what it means to abide in Christ, to abide in God's love. If we choose not to abide there, we wither. We become tinder for conflagrations over the silliest of stuff. God has grafted our lives into the life of Christ so that we will have His strength, His example, His grace, His goodness from which to draw. God did this so that we can bear fruit, the fruit of love and joy, of peace and patience, of gentleness, generosity, self-control. And God did all of this for us in love. So may we all find ways to make of our lives living Bibles for the world to read. May we point to Christ, and may we always proclaim the truth that Jesus is risen. May we point to God and His love and forgiveness in all we do, for all the people we meet, and all of the time. Amen.